that he smote us on the first day of our show.
Yes.
And if he could just smote us 2 days in a row, we'd win the Nobel Prize. We'd win the...
Right.
What was the other prize? You know,
Templeton.
The Templeton Prize. And also Randy's $1 million. And we did a whole long thing on that. Sure. And you should know that we're not backing down now. I mean, we're both strong atheists, and we do believe that blasphemy is part of the way our point gets put mm-hmm. across. We're not backing down, but we do want to say, just so that you understand it, it wasn't a real theological or scientific test. I mean, it is possible to postulate a God that would not take our show out as proof. It's possible to postulate a God that, although he is jealous of other gods, is not jealous of two jugglers in Las Vegas. And so we do want to say that if anybody took offense at that, as opposed to seeing it as just the marketplace of ideas and us stating our position, as many people state the other side, we're very, very sorry. And it turns out that it wasn't a good test at all, because while we were talking, God did try to call in and couldn't get through the CBS switchboard. God was trying to call. He was trying to call like crazy, turns out, and the boys at CBS in New York couldn't get God through.
And so they send their apologies to God.
They do. They send their apologies to God. They're on their knees right now.
In sending their apologies.
And speaking of which, we have been assured by all the way up, I think the entire way up, the entire chain up past David Letterman at CBS, that that we will be able to take calls today, which is good. In a certain way, this is the first day of the Penn Jillette Show, because we will have callers. The phone number is... I don't know how soon we're going to do this. We'll get to this at least in the second segment, but maybe a little bit in the first. The number is 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E, which is 3733, if you don't like numbers with letters in them. 866-313-FREE, 866-313-FREE. And you hear my voice change a little bit, because I have to turn and read it off the wall. But I shouldn't have to in a while. Probably by 6 months in, if I'm still working here, God willing, I will have memorized that number. And we've covered a lot of subjects over the past 2.5 days.
We have?
Day and a half. We've covered one subject.
One subject for the last 2.5 days.
One subject. Well, actually two. We've covered the lack of God and the lack of competence in broadcasting. But we pointed out to CBS that taking calls on the air was a previously solved problem. Solved in, I think, 1948.
Not by us, though.
Not by us, no. We'd never done that successfully.
Today, hopefully.
And the other problem, I like to make sure you know that we know where we are culpable. Mm-hmm. Now, the other problem is that this show is on a delay. So if we're to say something, it is free FM, and it is live, and all that stuff is true, except it's not. we're on a delay, so that the CBS people, if they deem that, and I really don't want to make this mistake, because you can make this mistake really easily and blame the CBS people for the no phone calls. We blame them for not putting us on the air. We don't blame them for their censorship,
sure,
as it might be called by some, because they are working under some very serious guidelines.
Someone's threatening them
from the FCC. Yeah, threatening them with losing their business, so they have to follow it. And speaking of that, you know, the whole FCC labyrinth is very, very hard to get through. And we are, everybody listening to this is American, and everybody cares about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And we are going to have on the show soon, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have on Bob Corn Revere, who is the real deal. Not only is he, he's a good friend of mine, one of the finest freedom fighters we have in the world today. He is constantly in the courtrooms, constantly working for freedom of speech, freedom from religion.
Sure.
He's just a fabulous guy, and he's argued in front of the Supreme Court.
Hard to beat that.
Good buddy of mine, and the best guy to hang out with, because, you know, I remember we were in New Orleans, mm-hmm. me and Bob, and we're walking around the French Quarter and going mm-hmm. to strip clubs and stuff, and people, you know, a few people recognized me as Penn from Penn and Teller, and I would introduce Bob, Bez.
Sure.
I'm Penn Jillette, and this is my First Amendment attorney, Bob Cornevere, which is the hippest thing in the world. That what I say could be so outrageous in the world that I need to have a First Amendment attorney right there next to me at all times.
That's right.
And therefore, he's great to go to strip clubs with, because when you're getting a lap dance, and the performer, that's the word I wanted. Performer, that's the word. The performer wants to ask about the legality. Mm-hmm. You say, well, let's just consult my attorney. He's not really familiar with this state, but he can tell you in general. So Bob really knows this stuff. I mean, Bob is the guy who went after, you know, children's television. I mean, that's how much he believes in freedom of speech. When they had the legislation about how much time had to be devoted to children's television, mm-hmm. he's the guy that said, can't the free market do this? You know, when they wanted to have television for the blind, which I think they still have. We spent a lot of money for that, which is that the shows are described. Uh-huh. He didn't think that should be government money. He's the guy that didn't want any, you know, libraries to be able to have all access. He is a real, I mean, if you believe in freedom, Bob Cornevere believes in more than you do. There are some limits that may have to be put in place in freedom of speech.
Sure.
I'm not sure Bob believes in any of them. So we're not going to take calls during Bob Cornevere, because I don't want anybody, slowing him down. Because we're going to have a full hour with Bob Cornevere. I want to have him be able to say all he can. But we will take emails. So if you've got questions.
And, in fact, start them now. That way we can organize
right
them.
Right now.
That'll
we're going
make
to organize them and lay them out. So right now, if you have any question on freedom of speech, either a personal question or a global question, we're going to give these to Bob in advance, so he said in an email to me that he's a spokesman and a legal consultant for many groups, I think including CBS. I think he does some consulting with them, although I'm not sure. Anything I say that sounds like it could be legal and binding, it's not. It's a nut speaking. It's a nut. It's an.
You're not responsible for your own mouth.
I'm not responsible for anything I say.
Okay.
That's what I want to make very clear. Not only is CBS not responsible, I'm not responsible. Bob will be responsible.
Bob will be responsible for you. Bob has stepped up to take that.
Bob will be my First Amendment attorney.
So run, Bob. If you're listening now, run.
PennRadio@gmail.com. PENN. RADIO@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. And you could put in the RE to make it easier for Godot. You could put, you know, Bob question or something.
Right.
But really, any question you have, if you want to go back to, you know, can the Nazis say this? Can
right.
the Klan say this? What about anti-abortion
right. why,
people?
Why should the Klan have the right to free speech?
Yeah, and what about websites that threaten death? If you want to talk about any sort of rules about television, if you want to talk about doing cable, I mean, we're going to have a lot of questions for Bob, but we really would like to have a zillion questions. So if you've got anything that you want to ask Bob Cornevere, I mean, he must be like, what, $400 an hour?
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
This is not,
I don't think we're paying it for this, are we?
I hope not. he was begging me to get a ride from the airport. He was asking me if maybe he could get a ride from the airport and tickets to our show. So
maybe the checks from CBS are bouncing? What are you saying? Bob doesn't have the money for the taxi from the airport?
Bob has money for a taxi, but he'd rather not spend it.
He'd ride it with a friend.
Freedom of speech does not mean freedom of cab. There's no freedom of cab.
You can do a consult on the drive over for the taxi driver.
Just say to the freelance, you know, you get any questions of freedom of speech, I'm Bob Cornevere. But really, the emails should be pouring in, because, you know, this is not like you're asking a question of someone who doesn't know anything. This isn't like we're having Paris Hilton or Tom Cruise on, you know, who you just have to, oh, loved you in your movie. This is a guy who you can ask a question to, and he can answer it. As a matter of fact, his wife, Bob Cornevere's wife, is
Mrs.
a...
Mrs. Cornevere.
Yeah, is a I don't forget her first name. It doesn't matter. I mean, now it
doesn't
matter because she may be listening. But she is a bioethicist, which means she has a law degree and a medical degree.
So,
I mean, Bob Cornevere
is... What's dinner in that family? It seems amazing.
Bob is really smarter than us, okay?
Right.
But his wife is so much smarter than he is. I mean, they live in D.C., and when we go out to dinner, you know, mm-hmm. most of the time I go out to lunch with Bob, and we would just talk, and we were two smart guys, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, could this be solved? Could this be... And then, you know, once
fighting
in a...
Fighting for freedom at lunch.
Once in a while, his wife would come along, you know, because she wasn't busy mm-hmm. bioethicizing and smoting. And she wasn't busy doing that. So she'd come out to dinner with us. And then all of a sudden, it's like two dumb guys with Madame Curie. You know,
bioethics at lunch.
It's like the Bowery Boys sitting there with Madame Curie. Because I would ask a hypothetical question, like about abortion or something, and she has the answer. Boom. Boom. I mean, she really does know everything. As far as I could tell from talking to her, Bob Kornrevere's wife knows everything. Now, we can't possibly get Bob Kornrevere. And also, this is the sexism that's inherent in our culture. The fact that she is probably the smartest human being I've ever met.
And you don't know her name. You know? I'm a little embarrassed for you. I've never met her. I'm sure she's a charming woman and... I'll remember her name.
she gets her name is Bob Kornrevere's wife.
Man.
And you get a medical degree, you get a law degree,
sure.
You're smart to begin with, and you end up as Bob Kornrevere's wife. I mean, I think if you're a woman in this country and you're listening to this broadcast, this should be the last straw. I mean, I think this is time to, like, get your guns and kill everyone with a penis. I mean, just because I try, man, you know, I'm trying. I'm trying to be fair.
You seem,
and I respect women. I love Bob Kornrevere's wife, but the name itself, and you might want to say, well, you know, Penn's not, you know, he's not, he doesn't have total recall. He's not, but somehow, you know, I remember Bob's name, you know. I mean, I have seen him more. Oh, man, that is heartbreaking. Anyway, if you have any questions,
I hope he'll still be on the show. You say my wife won't let me.
No, that's more of that same stuff. No, don't. Oh, man. Anyway, if you have any questions for Bob Kornrevere about freedom of speech or about the names of his loved ones.
Children and wife. Yeah.
Children and wife. He's got five kids, so I wouldn't be expected to know their names, right? I believe I know.
Now that you have a kid, you're supposed to know their kids' names.
I know your kids' names.
Well, that's good. I know yours.
Okay.
We're on equal ground there.
But we should know. So one of the questions, write to pennradio@gmail.com and ask Bob Kornrevere any questions you want about freedom of speech or his wife's name or his children's name. And children's names. Because it's not like George Foreman.
You don't think they're all Bob Kornrevere?
They're not all Bob Kornrevere. How hip is that, the George Foreman named all his kids the same thing?
And his grills.
Which used to be, you know, very common, you know, back 150 years ago. You'd have many kids in the family the same name because life expectancy was so terrible that if you wanted to have an heir with your name, you'd have to name three or four of them that so they would make it from the... to adulthood. Now, we have a couple of phone calls in here, but I still haven't finished with our corrections from yesterday. This show is fairly new. We're still falling into the groove. And one of the things we do is we make mistakes on one day. The next day, we talk about those mistakes. And while talking about those mistakes, we make more mistakes and talk about those the next day.
This is going to go on forever, isn't it?
Well, the contract does not go on forever. And, you know,
that was the first mistake.
Yeah, and Bob
Kornrevere gone forever.
And his wife did not look over our contract. So there's a termination policy that's very simple. I mean, it says it is like a, you know, a 30-page contract, and then at the end it says, and if we don't like you, we won't pay you, we'll fire you. You're off the air. And it turns out that they can put you off the air even when they don't want to. CBS has that power. So yesterday we had a delay.
Yeah.
There's a minute and 27 second delay.
48, I thought. 148?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. There's a delay. And the delay gives the CBS guys time to see if everything we're saying fits in with the rules of the FCC.
Mm-hmm.
Not only us, but also if there's a caller that calls up and says, you know, well, anything they would say would be blocked out, so I won't say it. But if they said something that's egregious, they can then edit it out and the show can keep going on. I'm very, very cool with that. But the delay is long enough that they can monkey with this stuff. And yesterday, they set up the delay, started us 2 minutes early, and then didn't put the delay in effect.
So ran straight live.
So we were straight live. So if we wanted, and we don't, but if we wanted yesterday to call for, let's say, the violent overthrow of the United States government, which would be illegal.
Yes.
If we were to have done that, it would have gone out live.
Would have gone out. Why didn't someone tell us that yesterday?
That was the time for the revolution to start.
Well, you know the other thing we have to correct is we attributed a quote to David Spade.
Well, there's something else that just came in. Crasher, who's in the other room and is kind of producing the show, just wrote, "It kind of happened again today."
Are we not on delay?
Were we not on delay again today, Crasher?
You said overthrow the U.S. government and it wasn't.
No,
delay.
I didn't. I said if I were to say.
Oh, no.
It was a hypothetical. It was a hypothetical.
Did Bob Corner
we're not
call
on delay
in?
Now? Are we live now? We are. Everything is copacetic.
All right.
Do you know how many people just in Vegas alone are working on making this show go? We have rooms full of people that are trying to make things work. We've got Vegas Radio here, a guy from Spike Radio here in Vegas, where I'm supposedly going on, and he's here trying to patch up everything. And you know
he's hovering.
And I just realized something. I've just blanked in his name. So we have Bob Corn Revere's wife. Anyone whose name I don't know
Jack.
Is just Jack.
That's Jack.
Jack. Okay, Jack. Thank you. Bob Corn Revere's wife is named Jack?
No,
okay,
not Bob.
Jack Corn Revere is a bioethicist.
Not Jack.
Okay. We have Jack from Spike Radio right here in Las Vegas, and he's in the other
Can
room.
We just call him Spike? Jack and Spike are very close.
Jack and Spike are very close. Both friendly names. Friendly names. So Bob Corn Revere's wife, Jack Spike Corn Revere, bioethicist, most brilliant human ever met. We don't know her name. We made another mistake yesterday.
Please fix this.
Okay. We made another mistake yesterday. I said that David Spade had a quote. I said that David Spade said something about the hurricane. What did I say?
Katrina happened because people didn't pray hard enough, was the actual quote.
Okay, but it's not David Spade.
No.
It's David Cross.
David Cross.
David Cross are two different people.
As far as we know.
Neither of whom is Bob Corn Revere's wife.
No.
None of them. And I know both of them. I was on this show with... I was on Carson Daly with David Cross, and he came out and did this whole thing making fun of magicians.
Really?
Set me up beautiful, because I was kind of working with a deck and practicing something. And
you want
he
to
set
kick his butt?
What's that?
You want to kick his butt?
No, he was making fun. It was good.
It was good.
It turned out very, very good. And I think of all the people whose minds were blown by that trick, the only people who knew for sure that David Cross and Carson Daly were in on it. The only people that knew for sure were, of course, David Cross and Carson Daly. So after the show, David Cross was peeved at how much the trick had gotten him. I did get a little bit lucky. You know, the cards that were named happened to be good cards for the ones I was controlling. And that worked out well. And I played a pornographer on David Spade's show. He had a show called Just Shoot Me.
Yes.
I played a pornographer, and the really funny line there, well, it wasn't much of a stretch.
You played a pornographer.
And I played a pornographer, and instead of saying action, I would say go. And I got to work with real pornography people, which was good. But all I could talk to David Spade about, all I could talk to him about during all the breaks was that his assistant had shot him with a taser.
That's a good assistant.
And David Spade wanted to talk about how he loved the assistant and how hard this was. And all I wanted to talk about was what it felt like. What did it feel like? This is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas, Nevada with Michael Goodell. We're going to take a little break, come back after this. Call me! Call me! I need help! 866-313-FREE. What is Bob Corn Revere's wife's name? Her last name is Corn Revere because when they got married, they each... No, I think it's actually Fry Revere. Her last name is Fry Revere. Because they're
just gone with a food theme for their family. I don't.
Bob's name before he was married was Bob Corn, and her name was Sigrid Fry. And when they got married, if they had hyphenated, it would be either Fry Corn or Corn Fry, which makes this much worse because, you know, she didn't just take his name. She in no way wanted to be Bob Corn's wife. What I made her, she was Sigrid Fry, and so they when they got married, they both hyphenated their last names, and their kids took the other name. And the name Revere, they just took because it's a real American patriot name. That's how much of a freedom fighter this guy is. You got any questions about freedom of speech?
They're coming in.
They're coming in. Good. Right at penradio@gmail.com. And I want to go right to the phones now. 866-313-FREE. Oh, wow, man. Kenny on line 6. Let's see. Kenny, this is a very big moment.
If we actually talk
to you, this is the first time the technology has worked at CBS. So make it good, Kenny. Lay it on us.
Yo, what's going on?
How you doing, boss?
Kenny!
I heard you guys were banging on Lord of the Rings the other day. What is that?
I'm not a big fan of Lord of the Rings. Did you like it?
I read the books every year.
Okay, you read the books.
I'm no geek.
Okay.
However, I enjoy
it. Who would think you were a geek for reading Lord of the Rings?
Every year.
Every year.
It could be worse. I could be a magician, right?
Absolutely. See, this is the great thing about this, boss. There is nothing worse than magicians. So when we're ragging on anybody, you have the trump card. Yeah. You can just say, oh, excuse me, aren't you a magician? But did you like the movies?
Huh?
Did you like the movies of The Lord of the Rings, the three movies?
Well, my ass hurt from sitting in the chair for so long, but...
That was a long time, wasn't it? But did you like the movies, okay?
They're all right. I can't complain. King Kong, I thought, sucked. I have to agree with you there.
Yeah. Well, Godot saw King Kong. I didn't. I'm just so burnt. Did you like his early movies, Peter Jackson's, Heavenly Creatures?
Meet the Feebles.
Did you like Meet the Feebles?
Have you seen Meet the Feebles?
Of course I've seen Meet the Feebles.
It's classic. How can you hate that? What's called The Muppets on Crack?
I love that. The Muppets on Crack is a great idea. And, you know, Avenue Q is just a toned-down version of Meet the Feebles. I mean, when I went to see Avenue Q, I stopped backstage in New York and said, have you guys seen Meet the Feebles? And I'm the one that before Meet the Feebles came out on DVD, I had this, shall we say, not entirely legal copy of Meet the Feebles on videotape. And I'm the one that gave it to the Henson people when we did the Muppet Show. So the reason the first people who saw the Meet the Feebles in the Muppets organization were because of me. But Meet the Feebles is great. Heavenly Creatures is great. Bad Taste is great. And does Lord of the Rings seem to go right in that same vibe with you, Kenny?
Well, how can you put that in the same category? You go
exactly,
from,
you but go it's from the same director.
You go from Muppets on Crack,
mm-hmm.
and to like complete fantasy. You can't do that.
To Dwarfs on Crack.
I showed my ex girlfriend the Meet the Feebles, man, and after 5 minutes she cried and begged me to take it off. That's what I mean, it was a great movie.
And what was 5 minutes in that bugged her so much? Was it the pierced nipple on the cow?
No, it was the walrus screwing the cat.
And the cheese stands alone.
I was about to bust my cookies.
How many times have you seen Meet the Feebles?
Huh?
How many times have you seen Meet the Feebles?
Oh, I own the DVD.
Okay. But I just wondered if Lord of the Rings...
I sit back with a case of beer and watch it.
Well, thank you so much, Kenny. Thanks, Kenny. Our first person. We got a call.
I'm going to cry.
It was just great. And I was watching our control room, and Travis and Crasher and all those guys, Jack, their lips weren't moving.
You didn't think it was faked?
And he sounded New York.
He did.
It sounded like, you know, 2,500 miles away.
It was like a talk show for a sec, wasn't it?
Just for a brief moment, it just felt...
This could be a radio show someday.
Woo-hoo! That could be something. We get that whole delay thing worked out. Oh, man, this is just really exciting. Now, Randy on line 8 has a question that I don't think I can answer, which is the most important ones. Is Randy there? We got to do two in a row?
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, man. Oh. How you doing, boss? We got two in a row.
Are you sure it's not Kenny again?
What's up?
I had a question about hypnotism. I was wondering, does it really work? And if it does, could it be used to get laid?
Yeah. Well, pretty much
Let's
nothing.
Let's take the second part first.
The answer to that question is always no. What works on getting laid is being very attractive, very rich, and very well endowed. And nothing else works. Nothing you can buy on TV, nothing you can learn. To any kids that have to be listening, and the important thing about the FCC is we can't say certain things because kids are listening. Kids, if you're listening, don't take up magic
to try to get laid. It's not going to help.
The question of hypnotism is a much tougher one. We did a whole Penn & Teller BS, a whole Showtime show on hypnotism. And, man, it was the hardest one to write because we just didn't know about hypnotism. And Teller, you know, has been fascinated by hypnotism forever. So he's the one that really pushed to do this god-awful show. stage hypnotism, any of the stuff you see in Vegas, which are called in the variety arts jargon, hip acts, any of that, you know, the sexy hypnotist, the hip hypnotist.
The naughty.
The naughty.
Mr. Dr. Naughty.
Dr. Naughty. Those are all complete frauds. Those are just
Senior
people
naughty.
Who are...
They're all called the same thing.
Yeah. Who are... get drunk people on stage who want a lot of attention, mm-hmm. and they give them a little speech that says, if hypnotism doesn't work on you, you're an idiot.
And you have to leave.
And then they play along. And, of course, everybody wants to dance like a pole dancer and act like it's freezing out and stuff like that. But as far as the really hardcore clinical stuff, I don't think anybody knows. There was an article in the Times about a month ago.
Yeah,
that had some recently. Really good science, and Teller was in touch with the person that wrote it and then went and did some more research. And Teller is doing very, very, very serious research on subjects that you people are interested in, and he's not on the radio. so you're left with the monkeys that were listening to him.
Yeah.
But have you had any experience in trying to get laid with hypnotism, boss?
No, I was just wondering. it seemed one of those comedy acts, and just was wondering how it worked.
So who did you see and where?
It was actually last year here in Baltimore, but I can't remember the guy's name.
Yeah, well, that's probably just as well. And he had a lot of people.
Monsieur Naughty.
Did you get on stage for that?
No, I was in the audience, but he had about four people on stage.
And what did the four people do? Quack like ducks and freeze and take their clothes off?
Things, to react to words. He'll tell them that when you hear a word, you'll behave a certain way. And then every time, during the act, he'll say a word, the person sitting on the side will stand up, one leg, things like that.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the show, boss?
Yeah, it was funny. It was pretty good.
It was funny? Well, would you have enjoyed it just as much if they hadn't said it was something mysterious like hypnotism?
We're going to get people up and ask you to do dumb stuff? That's a great show idea.
Isn't that a good show idea? I mean, one of the things I've always wondered about is this stuff that has all these mystical overtones. Can you strip the mystical overtones away and say, we're a bunch of people in a room, we want to have a good time, who wants to get up here and dick around? Who just wants to have a good time? And then you say, who in the audience has wanted to be a pole dancer?
Sure.
And some guy built like me, fat guy about 50, gets up and grabs a pole and just swings around shakes his ass. Wouldn't that be terrific?
Sings a Madonna song.
Wouldn't that be great?
It'd be great.
And then when I say the word,
stop.
Or I was going to say anthropod or something like that. When I say that word, you're going to get up and cluck like a chicken. What could be more fun than that? Why doesn't somebody, if somebody's listening to this show and looking for an act, please put together the non-hypnotism show. Like, not Dr. Naughty, but just the Naughty Show. Don't put any sort of pseudo-mystical jive.
Well, the problem is the word hypnotism.
Yeah.
Isn't it, though? We don't know what it means. It means stage stuff, and it also means something people might use for...
Yeah, there should be a different name for the clinical stuff, for the pain relief, if you can really focus on something and really make it clear in your mind that you don't want to feel the pain, if you can overcome that. It has nothing to do with pole dancing like a chicken. But thank you so much.
No problem.
Randy. Was that Randy?
That's Randy.
Yeah. Thank you so much, boss. Thanks for calling in. Man, how do you feel? Are you elated?
I can't believe this.
We got two calls in a row that may have been real. We may get a call afterwards and say, you guys were so punked. It was just the guys in the next room. That kind of technology won't exist for years. Oh, man. This is probably the happiest day of my life. We know Bob Corn Revere's wife's name, which I've now forgotten. I think it's Sigrid Fry Revere, bioethicist. And if you're using her to bioetho for you, if you hired her or something, don't use the fact that we talked about her on this show as anything bad about her. She really is the smartest, most honest, most talented human being I have ever met, bar none. And Bob Corn Revere will be taking questions about mostly freedom of speech, but freedom in general. He'll only take those on email because we want to get them in advance so he can sound even smarter than he is. That's penradio@gmail.com. And we'll be back with more... whatever we're doing. Technical competence today. Sigrid, 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 Sigrid. Oh, what a swinging theme. I love that Free FM has all this pounding, rocking stuff all the time. But, man, to hear that bop music coming over.
That was the spice you were looking for.
Oh, is that great? And that's Mike Jones who wrote that tune. He's playing the piano. Lon Bronson putting together the horns and the drums. Listen, that's really nice. Man, is that of a swing. And the most important part of a swing is the bass player.
And who's telling us that?
Bass player is a monster.
The bass player.
The bass player says
the most important thing in the band is the bass player.
Yeah, that's true. That's that great Emo Phillips joke, you know, when he used to say, I always thought the brain was the most important organ in the body until I realized who was telling me that. So the bass player is telling you that that the bass player makes things swing. I guess we'll talk more about hypnotism because it's good to talk about things we know nothing about. Let's pick up the hypno Steve on line 13. You there?
Yeah.
I knew it.
Hey, boss. How you doing, man?
How you guys doing?
You know, we won't be this excited to hear everyone in the future. It's just that stuff working is just so thrilling to us. Do you have some information about hypnotism?
No, actually, I have a question.
Okay, good.
I have a friend who I have witnessed do this to people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't figure it out.
You mean in a social situation?
With a bunch of other friends, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe it's not social for you, but to some people, a bunch of friends is social. And what does he do?
Well, he's done hypnotism. I can't explain exactly what he did, but he does card tricks as well, where he'll read the card off your mind, or so he says.
Okay, well, we'll
and
tell you right
a
now.
Big connection with it.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that's a lot of, there's a lot of guys that do that. But we know that the card trick, when he's reading the card off your mind or out of your mind, is a trick. And that's either sleight of hand or a trick deck, or it's some sort of machination that's perfectly within the realm of understanding.
Is it okay for you to just give that away?
Sure.
Are you sure?
Possibly.
Okay.
I mean, what are magicians going to do? If I was saying something to anger the Hell's Angels, I would change that.
Sure.
You know, but magicians, it's like pissing off ventriloquists.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick your ass. You know, it's just
my
not
bunny
the
is coming for you.
Yeah, we're going to get you.
I have one more question for you guys.
No, you didn't finish the. Don't go to that one. You didn't finish this one.
Okay.
When he says it's hypnotism, what is the effect? What does he do that you were calling hypnotism?
Well, he can make people bark like a dog.
Okay.
But then again, I mean, you don't know if these people are just going along with it. You don't know if it's really happening. I mean, at the time, it's scary. You know, it's really weird.
But the entire effect was making people bark like a dog?
He can make people bark like dogs. He can make them act like animals and stuff. I mean, that's really the best. I've only seen him do it once.
And what was the
won't
induction?
Ever do it again.
What was the induction? I mean, how did he get people to go under, so to speak?
Oh, I don't even remember. It was a long time ago.
There wasn't like a pocket watch or you'll get very
spinning
sleepy.
Spinning coin?
No, he would do kind of like what you see on TV a lot of the times, where he'll count down and they'll say just relax and all that.
Now, did you know all the guys that that were doing this barking thing?
I know. The one guy I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy that was under hypnosis, he was someone I knew, and he swore to God that it was that he didn't remember what happened and he just like blacked out.
Hmm.
I mean that's what he says, but
I'll just give you half the answer, which is the card trick.
Right.
Was a card trick. That's all I'll tell you on that. The hypnotism, man, I just don't know. There's the power of suggestion. There's all that stuff going on, and I just don't know about hypnotism. Maybe we should find someone to write in a Gmail to us at Penn Radio and tell us some real expert that's doing some real stuff that'll come on the radio and let us ask stupid questions of. Do you have another question, boss?
My other question was,
sure.
Is there a difference between being a magician and being someone who does these levitations and hypnosis and all that?
We are going to have a full hour with Chris Angel very soon coming up on the show.
That would be great.
We'll be discussing those exact issues. The answer, the short answer, is no. As far as I know, and I've done a lot of research on this, everybody who is claiming any sort of supernatural powers is doing tricks. And it is certainly possible that there are effects that I don't know. But I know for a fact, David Blaine is a friend of mine. I know that his levitation was a wonderful magic trick, but all the same, a magic trick. Everything that Chris Angel has done, one of his chief advisors and writers is someone who works with us a lot, writes a lot of stuff for us, Johnny Thompson. And Johnny Thompson is as skeptical as the day is long. Johnny would not work with anybody who claimed real powers. So when Chris Angel does these incredible things that you see, please give the credit to Chris Angel. Give the credit to his team that works with him. Johnny Thompson. There's a bunch of other people. I'm just blanking on their names. But he's got a wonderful team behind him. I think Todd Robbins, who's a good friend of mine, did some work with him. And these people are doing really beautiful stuff. And that kind of angers me because when you go see, you know, when you go see, like, the Stones, you know that you give credit to the Stones. You don't go, oh, I wonder what it is that makes Keith Richards play guitar like that, besides the guy that's backstage pretending to be. But anyway, besides that, you say, you know, you give the credit where credit is due. So please, when you see Chris Angel or David Blaine or any of these guys do this stuff that looks miraculous, don't use the word miracle. Use the word trick, because that gives them credit. That gives them the credit, the people that did the work. We've got another call. Thanks a lot, boss. I'm going to hang up on you now because there's a guy, Bill, on line 8 who was hypnotized to stop smoking. We haven't got that much time. But you on the line there, Bill? Are you on the line, Bill? Oh, we were so close to perfect all the way through. And then Bill!
He was hypnotized to hang up.
Man, he was hypnotized to hang up. Somebody told him to hang up. There's a there's an email that you had there, Goodall, that I want you to read.
This is from
an email sent to penradio@gmail.com. Send in all your emails, especially about freedom of speech. We're going to have Bob Corn Revere on. Also, we have Chris Angel on. Send emails for him, too. And here's what we just got.
And this is from someone, the name is Joe Bop, which I'm a little suspicious of, first off.
Joe Bop?
Joe Bop.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you should give his real name anyway, but of course he did send us his name.
Joe Bob. Joe Bob. Yeah, okay, I shouldn't say it. well, the good thing is I've given his fake name.
Sigrid Bop
has written in to say that our God test yesterday could just as easily have proved that Joe Pesci didn't exist. For the purpose of this discussion, we'll say Joe Pesci doesn't exist. We can announce over the air that Joe Pesci does not exist, or he'll smite you or call in, whichever's easier, and he may or may not call in. And this failure to call would hardly constitute proof that there were no Joe Pesci.
Very important point.
Thank you, Joe.
What Joe Bop is saying is, I like the name Joe Bop. Let's pretend that's his real name. Sigrid Joe Bop. What he's saying is you can't prove a negative. You absolutely cannot prove a negative. You cannot prove that there is no God.
Right.
And that does not mean that you automatically believe there's a God. You cannot believe that there aren't fairies living in my toaster. Bad example. Very bad example.
I think if you make the claim fairies live in your toaster, it's your job to prove it.
Yeah,
not my job to say no.
Right. And the example that I used in my
This I Believe thing
for government radio, not free radio, but government radio. I used the example of an elephant. You cannot even prove. Never mind Joe Pesci, who's a little man, very tiny man. You cannot prove that an elephant is not in this room, because the definition of elephant can change very rapidly. You can say, well, maybe it wasn't in the direction you were looking. Maybe this is an invisible elephant. Maybe this is, you know, maybe you can't smell the peanuts, whatever. You can keep doing that. So science has come up with this kind of simple rule of thumb that if you have something to prove, you prove the positive, you do not prove the negative. So Joe Bop is 100% right. Can we do one more call on hypnotism? Yeah, we got a couple of minutes. Let's take Carlos on line 6 and see if he is hypnotized to hang up. You there, boss?
Hey, Penn, how you doing?
Doing very well, man. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I was just calling in about your hypnotism talk. And I've actually been hypnotized. And it's not actually a blackout phase so much as a submerged stage. Like, you're aware that you're in the room and stuff like that. It's just, you're not aware of certain things that people are making you do. Because I also had friends telling me, oh, yeah, so I was flipping the light switch on and off every time he said a word to me or something like that. And I didn't realize I was doing it. I'm standing there wondering why everyone's laughing, but I'm not saying anything, you know?
But you were aware of who you were and that you were in the room and all that stuff.
Yes, I was fully aware of all that. It's just I'm sitting there and I'm not really realizing why everyone's laughing at me. And then, you know, I go to sit down after everything's done, and my friend was telling me I kept flipping the light switch, and It came to a point where I kept denying it. Like, I kept telling him. I didn't flip the light switch. And then what actually happened, he had one of the camera phones, and he was showing me that I was doing it.
On a camera phone? So this was fairly recently.
Yeah, this was actually 2 months ago.
Uh-huh. And was what kind of environment was this in? Was this in a show?
In college.
In a college, just in a dorm room or something, in a lecture?
No, it was in a lecture. My professor, he actually, he studied to be a hypnotherapist.
Uh-huh.
So he trains people to quit smoking and exercise, get confidence, you know, motivate people, you know, better sleep, things like that, you know?
This is what's bugging me. We need someone who knows something about this, because we tried to do the whole show on BS. We did all the research for Showtime.
Yeah.
And this kind of stuff, I just can't explain, because I don't think he's lying. I don't think Carlos is lying.
No.
I think this stuff happened to him, and I think he felt something different.
Oh, yeah.
You think he's lying?
I mean, like I said, I'm always there. I mean, even if you don't want to believe me, I mean, you can take classes on it if you want. And you can actually teach yourself how to meditate and make yourself a better person, and you'll notice you have improvements in your life.
Yeah, maybe we should.
He sounds enough like Bill Murray that I'm a little worried.
Thanks so much, Carlos. Thank
all right,
you.
Later, guys.
You know, when people are laughing at you and you don't know why, isn't that just true for everybody all the time? Isn't there always reasons to laugh at everybody? I don't know. I don't think that Carlos is lying. I don't think that's a prank call. I think that's a guy who really did it. I mean, but what he was doing was not, you know, supernatural. He was turning a light switch on and off.
There might be a real explanation for it.
He doesn't remember it.
We just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, and it's disturbing, because usually the shows that we do on BS on Showtime are really cut and dry. Like, you know, we're doing a show on the Boy Scouts.
Sure.
And the Boy Scouts, really bad stuff. Really bad stuff. Maybe we'll get into that. We're about to wrap up kind of sort of ish for today. So if you've got a freedom of speech question, write to penradio@gmail.com. We're going to have Sigrid Fry Korn's husband, Sigrid Fry Revere's husband on, who's a big freedom of speech guy, Bob Korn Revere. He'll ask you he'll answer any questions you want about the limits of freedom. Let's really get down with this show. Okay. Want a lot of emails pouring in. Also, going to have Chris Angel on for a whole hour sometime in the future. So get your Gmails into us, and we'll give those to Chris. And when Chris is on, it'll be a couple of jugglers sitting around talking to a real television magician. How was your show last night, Goodell?
Were you there? The Las Vegas tradition. I killed.
Of course
I killed. What do you mean? You weren't there? That's what I say.
You know, one thing you should know is Goodell and I are both jugglers. Goodell is the juggler in the Lance Burton show here in Vegas, and I'm the juggler in the Penn & Teller show here in Vegas. And you really, the reason I ask is you really don't ask a juggler how many drops he had. That's like being in prison.
Yeah, did you drop last night in the bottle routine?
Were you there?
No.
No, I didn't. Have you ever been there when I dropped?
No.
You know, that's because I never drop.
Oh, really?
I've never dropped a broken liquor bottle. I've never dropped a torch. Nothing. I've a perfect dropless. Perfect dropless.
That's unusual.
It's like being in prison. If you ever meet a juggler, it's like when someone's in prison, you don't say, what were you in for? When you meet a juggler, you don't say, how many times did you drop during your routine? It is just not done. Unless the juggler is a child molester. In which case, you can ask them anything. Because in prison, child molesters are scorned. That's called short eyes. It's a bad thing. So a child-molesting juggler, you can ask him, you can really pin him against the wall and say, how many drops did you have?
That's painful.
Yeah. This is Penn Jillette. And who's this over there?
That's Michael Goodell.
Michael Goodell.
Here's Penn Jillette on that side.
On free FM CBS Radio from Las Vegas. We'll be here again tomorrow, God willing.